Okay, here it goes. Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you're going to take home with you?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house. But there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and leaving in your court-ordered limo because of your excesses.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Should we start the whole intro?
You couldn't have done that like, I don't know how long ago.
Sean just ruining the intro.
I'm not doing weed. It's medicine.
Jesus.
Can I at least reread the pun?
Please.
Okay.
I was looking forward to it.
Leaving in your court-ordered limo because of your excessive drinking.
I drink my beer.
On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, one of them still holds the record for the most penalty minutes in Hawks history, and the other was just an equipment manager. Sean Pryor and AJ Vince, how the heck are you?
Which one?
Who do you think?
Which one do you like?
I think I have got the penalty minutes.
Nice.
Only guy to ever take off his skate and try to stab somebody.
Try to stab somebody.
I get them quarter-inch blade curves and everything like that is make sure they're doing that right. And I tape up the fucking sticks, so
yeah.
It's
an
important job.
It's an important job. Unsung hero.
We get the Stanley Cup, too, so.
Yep. Well, we are so delighted to have you with us here today. If you're new to the podcast, you're at the beginning of an episode where we take a classic movie that you loved from childhood and give you every single bit of information you could ever need about the movie while dissecting it scene by scene. So stay tuned for all the fun. Before we get started, we want to tell you about a few fun ways to support the podcast and all of our efforts. Number one, you got to give us reviews on Facebook and
Please.
Favorite podcast platforms. We love them.
We need it.
We love hearing them. We love just reading them, basically, and knowing that you're enjoying it. So let's do that segment called Review Time.
Review Time!
Oh, this is from Cray22.
Oh.
You know what he's Cray. It's called My Favorite Podcast About Guys Being Dudes. Not really sure what that means, but pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
It goes, boys, just wanted to leave you a quick review and give a few kind words about the podcast. You're absolutely killing it. I'm an avid podcast listener, especially on my hour-long commute to work. So when I see a new episode of yours pop up in my feed, you bet your blank check that I play it immediately. You guys are great, so keep up the solid work. Also, for sure you need to review Baby Geniuses.
Ooh, wow.
Has anyone ever seen Baby Geniuses?
Geniuses.
I think so, a long time ago.
I feel like that's a late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I guess
you
we'll
be right.
Maybe we'll look into Baby Geniuses.
Thanks, yeah. Cray.
Thanks, Cray22. And way number two to support us, we do have that voicemail. You know, that 319-804-9596. It's great because we honestly love hearing your voicemails. Sometimes people yell at us. Sometimes people tell us some movies we should look into. Sometimes people like this one have been waiting for a long time for this one. We got a little backlog, right?
Oh, wow.
This one's probably one of my favorite voicemails to come through. It's time to finally let everybody hear it. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, guys. I'm a huge fan. I'm from Nova Scotia, Canada. My name is Kyle. I wrote something as an ode to the show. Each line of this covers every episode in order from
wow.
beginning to now. So it could be Sarah Jessica's Yabos that you miss, or because we are all Princess Lydia fans, we will never be too old for this. Has us wishing we were small again. From Crushing on Judy the Elf, Kevin McAllister was a dick from the start. Let's strip the title from Danielson and give it to Robbie Hart.
Good.
Some of us wish a speeding bus with a bomb was starring three idiot kids hoping the bomb would go off. Four heroes in a half shell would try to pick up the pieces because they're the best around and nothing's ever going to keep them down. Let's raise a fist in the air at the end of AJ's favorite movie, yell Mortal Kombat and hunt treasure with the Goonies. When you use your station wagon to hunt Bigfoot for sport or introduce yourself as Buck Melanoma, Molly Russell's wart. Forge a check by a castle steal money from an asshole. Let's be excellent to each other and don't be a male dominant monkey motherfucker. Go to frankdukesisafuckingliar.com and find error 404. You're killing me, small. Is Tony Perkins White Goodman? I guess we'll never know. Never been to fat camp and never want to go. So let's humanize the goons and sip our whiskey from a glass. If you don't like our podcast, you can mini-bite our ass. Thanks again, guys.
My man, Kyle. Damn, Nova Scotia. We'll have to... Wow. He actually sent that to us, too, so that you can read it. Yeah. You can hear everything. We'll have to put that up on the Facebook, because it's
totally
fantastic.
That's legit. Whenever we have live shows, I expect everyone to recite that, like the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes,
that's fantastic. Right now.
But, I mean, since then, he ended on... I don't know what he ended on. I mean, there's been a lot of episodes
that's
since.
True.
So we're going to have to get part number two at some point here, Kyle.
Oh, yeah, man.
And that is why we have the best fans. We love hearing from
Thank
you,
you so much, man. That's so cool.
Hit us up on that voicemail. Number three, check us out on Patreon. Sign up for one of the tiers, and you get a lot of cool things in return. Voting on upcoming movie topics, access to weekly episodes that are just for Patreon members. There's like 8 hours of audio now on there that if you're finally caught up and you're wanting to listen to more, you can go check it out. So,
and like 2 hours of video now.
Yeah, there's video now, yeah, guys.
How about that?
There's video?
Audio,
yes.
And video.
Only on Patreon, boys and girls. So patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. Go check it out. Here's just a few of our newest supporters. We got Janelle Lewis, Joseph Thomas, Marshall G., Riker Garrison, Mitch Kavanaugh, Ryan Carlton, Sean Dixon, Dana Dane, Josh Miller, Macy Connor, and Jason Botsford.
You truly are.
Thank you, everybody.
We love you.
Love it.
So I think we jump into it. We get that housekeeping out of the way, and then we go. We don't bullshit for fucking 2 hours
it is
before
time.
We get to it. All right, boys, time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we discuss one of the most popular sports movies of all time, a movie that spawned 2 sequels and a currently airing miniseries on the Disney Channel, a movie that taught all of us at a very young age that you can take a man who has never coached, put him with kids who have never won, let alone know how to play, and through a series of trick plays, new equipment, new jerseys, and positive attitudes, you can transform overnight into champions without putting in any hard work whatsoever. A movie that was so popular an NHL team named themselves after it. We are, of course, talking about 1992's The Mighty Ducks. And for those of you looking to get a refresher on the movie, feel free to pause, check out Mighty Ducks streaming on Disney Plus subscription. Mm-hmm. If you got that Disney Plus, it's right there for you as of the recording of this episode in early September 2021.
If you don't have that, it's like $4 on Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, and something like that, right?
If you don't have that, just look in your basement. It's there.
You own this on VHS. We know you do. But before we get started on a scene-by-scene breakdown, we're going to get Sean to hook us up with the pertinent, important background info that we need to know about this movie. Sean, what you got?
Hello, Mike. Hello, AJ.
Hey!
Produced by John Avnet and Jordan Kerner. Written by Stephen Brill. Cinematography by Thomas Del Ruth. Music by David Newman. Directed by Stephen Herrick. This is what Stephen Herrick's credits list as. Critters. Is a fun 80s horror movie. Mr. Holland's Opus, Rockstar, which we will do one
yes,
day.
Yes, we will.
Man of the House, The Cutting Edge,
wow.
Fire and Ice.
Wow.
Yeah.
One of the sequels.
Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That episode, yes. And Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Wow.
So he is forever ingrained in this show for sure.
Wow, apparently.
Our history, yes. Cast. Emilio Estevez, Joss Eklund, Lane Smith, Heidi Kling, Joshua Jackson, Eldon Henson, Sean Weiss, MC Gainey, Matt Doherty, Brandon Quinton, Adams, Aaron Schwartz, Marguerite Moreau, Vincent LaRusso, and Danny Tamborelli. Stephen Brill was inspired to write The Mighty Ducks after seeing The Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau. Brill wanted to focus on hockey because he hadn't really seen much movies like that. Like he knew of Slapshot, but it wasn't like really kid friendly. So
wait, don't you think Slapshot's like the only Slapknot is the only hockey movie really that I can think of before this?
Really, yeah. Probably. There's probably maybe I can't even think of it. So Disney greenlit the film because CEO at the time, Michael Eisner, was a hockey fan. So good on him. The original script was a lot darker and emphasized Bombay's drinking a lot more, with his name being named after two gin brands, Gordon's and Bombay.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Oh my God.
What? So that's probably a fake name then.
Yeah, maybe.
Or his dad was an even bigger drunk.
Yeah. Gordon Bombay.
Sebring Gordon Bombay. Yeah. Seagram's.
Seagram's.
Let's call him Gordon Hendricks.
Hendricks Hockey?
Hendricks Hockey? No.
Hendricks isn't our last name. Yeah, it is now.
Yeah, it is now.
Charlie Sheen and Bill Murray were considered for the part of Bombay, along with Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks, and Michael J. Fox.
I mean, any of them would have worked.
I could definitely see Michael J. Fox. I don't know. So, like, so hard. But it's funny, Charlie Sheen, because it's his brother.
There you go.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Leonardo DiCaprio both auditioned for Charlie Conway. So you can imagine what happened there. Filming began on January 22nd, 1992, and ended that spring on April 11th. And that is all I have for now.
Well, AJ, start us off. Tell us about your memories of the movie when you first saw it and what your rating was.
VHS, we did own this movie. It's probably still lost in the house that we lived in at that time.
It's in the basement.
It's in there, and it's still in the cardboard sleeve with Emilio on the cover.
Emilio!
I love the cover of this movie. Like, yeah. I love the movie cover.
The colors of it.
Yeah. They're all smashed against the glass and stuff. Like, that's the one I remember anyways. But I do remember watching this and watching it a lot. I will tell you right now, like, there's something about when you watch a movie as a kid that you don't even actually hear dialogue. You just hear tones and inflections and like that's what it is. And I'm sure we'll get into it, but that is what I remember about this, and I remember a lot of the music. I remember watching this with my brothers and us wanting to play hockey. Mm. I loved this movie, man. If I was going to give this a rating, honestly, as a kid, I honestly think this was one of my favorite movies as a kid. This was probably a 9.1.
Well, for me, dude, I'm a straight up 9 on this. You got me beat by 0.1. This was one of the best. I mean, this movie was so right up my alley. I was a huge hockey fan because growing up in St. Louis, I mean, that was one of my favorite sports, right? I know we saw this in theaters, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Immediately then started renting it like every couple weeks to where my mom finally said, let's just buy this movie.
Yeah.
So we don't have to rent this anymore. Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Get it to me for Christmas, please. But I was the perfect age. I was, what? I was 10. I mean, like, pretty much the age of these kids.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for kids' sports movies at that age in my life. So any of them, give them to me.
Yeah.
Spoon feed them into me, and I will digest it and love it. So, I mean, this movie was fantastic.
Yeah.
What about you, Sean?
I had a teacher in elementary who actually lent me a bunch of movies. And so I would go through them and everything like that. And eventually it came to like this one movie, and it was The Mighty Ducks. And it was it was like OT. And so I went up to the plate and I tried to put it in the VCR player, and it didn't work. And so I've never seen this movie before.
You're lying.
No.
You're lying.
You're not lying?
I'm not lying. I've never
Holy shit.
Are you kidding?
Seriously,
this is
dude?
My first time, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And we have to be careful now that we're doing this I've never seen thing, because, like, we got to be really careful in assuming people have seen movies, because if you both had not seen it, then we just have a repeat of last week.
No, I know.
But you're definitely in the minority that most people have seen this movie.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of Disney movies, man, like I know Heavyweights we've done, but I don't know. I just didn't get this one. I blame my brother.
Okay.
You know?
You should.
He should have
shown. He was your influence. He should have shown this to you.
Yeah. Wow.
Fucking A. Well.
So I'm a zero.
Okay. No, it's an NA.
Yes.
It's an NA. Yes, of course. NA. It does not count as a zero against this movie. Well, before we dive fully into this, we got to know what the critics were thinking, what the ratings and reviews were. So AJ, hook us up with what you got on that.
Let me tell you guys something. We're going back to having fun this time around, and we always start
the tomato meter.
Yeah, they still hate me for doing that too. That's all right. But the tomato meter, guys, on Rotten Tomatoes, critical reviews, is coming in at a whopping 21%.
No way.
21%.
That is okay. I mean, that's our last lowest one was Encino Man with 17.
Wow.
Okay. That means Heavyweight's got a 29. So they just hate kid movies.
They just don't like kid movies.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
I don't understand that.
I think that's pretty crazy.
That needs to be reevaluated for sure.
The audience gives
This is going to jump up, though.
This is going to jump. It gives us some redemption here. It's 65% for audience scores on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. Yeah. If we do move over to IMDb, do you guys have a guess? You've been playing this
5.7.
4.8.
6.6 on IMDb.
Shit.
But a 46 on Metascore. So, Sean, you've been damn close on that, boy.
Right there, boy.
You know what? This is a rarity where we get both Jeannie Siskies and Raj coming in to give us some reviews. So I am going to give you both of them.
Siskel and Ebert sandwich.
They were holding hands while they watched this.
You bet they were. Their hands touched in the popcorn bowl. Gene Siskel, this is our positive here of the two. From the Chicago Tribune, an okay kids picture about a bunch of misfit hockey players who are brought together to play in the big game by a cynical yuppie coach doing community service.
That's it.
That's all he's got.
That is what that movie is.
Thanks for giving him the movie.
So what did you think about it?
He was okay.
We've seen it.
Yeah, we thank you for telling us about it. Gene pretty much went on to say, it was a 63 out of 100. He basically went on to say, yeah, it was entertaining. And that it should have probably been not rated PG. So
Oh wow, yeah. How? Like what
language?
What language?
Language just like I would say, like, I mean, we'll get into it, but like the drunk driving and shit like
that.
Yeah,
I mean,
suggestive. Like, what do they say? What do they say in the rating stuff? Suggestive material,
suggestive
whatever.
Content,
yeah.
Whatever.
Roger Ebert gave it a 50 out of 100. It must be said that this movie is sweet and innocent, and that at a certain level, it might appeal to younger kids. I doubt if its ambitions reach much beyond that.
Okay.
So he thinks that, it's good for kids. It's not really that great for adults. I'll give you one bad one here. Time Out London.
Whoa.
I think that must be from London.
Take it easy, London.
Gave it a 20 out of 100 on the whole Metascore vibe. Very lame ice hockey flick. Estevez is an arrogant hotshot lawyer, Gordon Bombay, condemned to community service drink and driving. He reckons he can go one-on-one with his troubled past and gets back at his boss and teams up with little no-hopers. put it back in the cupboard. Marked Bratz Assorted.
Okay, you guys are just backwards over there. Yeah. So, do you even have any hockey players anyway? Like, okay.
Yeah, idiots.
That's
about it. Let's get some. Let's do a little bit of the audience reviews here. Okay.
Audience.
Dude, you got to be careful. I literally almost spit my beer on my computer. Be careful.
The writers must have had a copy of The Bad News Bears running constantly, because this movie is a direct ripoff of that classic. Unfortunately, what you're left with is uninspiring, one from column A, two from column B nonsense. I realize it's for kids and it is not meant to have deeper meanings, but it is still too predictable and cutesy. That was done in 99.
It isn't a straight up remake, because it's like it's more cutesy than Bad News Bears. So
yeah.
Like it's more for kids. Bad News Bears is like for adults.
Yeah. Well, I remember being a kid being like, I want to watch that. My dad's like, let's not watch that.
Yeah, we're not gonna do that.
Let's put on Mighty Ducks instead.
I distinctly remember that conversation. this is a 1 out of 10.
But it's about kids.
It's about kids.
So was the movie Kids, right?
You're right. Says in the title.
About no-hoper kids.
No-hoper kids.
1 out of 10, Todd Randall, 68, on December 14th, 2005. If this crap interested you, you are hopeless.
No-hopers. Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. I noticed that there were only a few comments on this film. Really?
How many reviews were there? Probably millions.
I thought I'd jump in.
So look, I know a lot of people haven't seen this movie. I'm going to save you the time.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Your name's Sean Pryor. You've never seen it. Spoilers.
Is that because it's completely sucked? This movie is not only bad, it is a bad ripoff of another film, Bad News Bears.
What?
Was there ever an MLB team called the Bad News Bears? Just getting off track here.
So let me talk about sports for a sec.
So they named the movie after a hockey team. That's bullshit.
No, they didn't.
That's
no, they
why.
Didn't.
No, you know what? Didn't, you idiot. That is exactly the reason why this movie is bad.
Yeah. More like Bad News Movie.
Might as well.
That is the only difference I could find between the two. Oh, and except that Emilio Estevez is a waste while Matthau is one of the best. I have commented on this movie before, so I won't go over the similarities again.
Because we've totally read your...
Because yeah, well,
we've been paying attention to you.
We tuned in last time, that's right. Did anyone notice the forfeited game similarity? Forfeited game. This is so lame, I can't believe it. If anyone saw that and wasn't furious, I feel sorry for you. If I would have seen this in the theater, I would have walked out and busted up the place. However, I saw this with my buddies during a cookout, and if I wasn't more concerned with maintaining my composure, I would have smacked each and every one of them while they were laughing at this nonsense. 1 out of 10. What the fuck?
This guy has no friends. He's lying about being at a cookout with friends.
Yeah,
There's no way he has friends.
Literally is pulling a Kevin McAllister and has like mannequins hanging out with him.
Yeah.
Dressed up and like one's like got a permanent like arm in the air just to high five him whenever he wants. You know?
I don't want to watch any movies. Movies suck.
Yeah. I put this on myself and I'm gonna criticize it.
What's that? What'd you say, Robert?
Oh, this movie sucks. You're really cool, though.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Yeah.
Hey, thanks, bro.
Sorry, we hate this guy. Yeah, and if that's you, call us in. We got a really sweet present for you.
Bring in Ton Radendall.
Come on over. Come over to 123 Fart Street.
Fart Street.
Swisher, Iowa.
USA.
We got a present for you. When I sit down to rewatch these classic movies, I always have three things with me: my cat in my lap, my notepad, and a glass of whiskey. The whiskey is probably the most important thing, although I do love my cat a lot. I mean, let's just not tell him about
that.
Okay. I know, hope he's not listening, Sergeant Meownstein. But these classic movies are so warm, nostalgic, which is why we love them and why we're here to celebrate them. So the whiskey does the exact same thing for me. It enhances these classic warm feelings. And I know you all well enough to know you're wondering exactly what type of whiskey do you drink, Michael?
What type of whiskey do you drink?
Dear Michael, what kind of whiskey?
What type?
Well, being from Iowa, there is only one choice for all things whiskey, and that is Cedar Ridge Distillery.
Oh, yeah.
From their flagship bourbon, quintessential American single malt, and even their collaboration with Slipknot. Yeah, I love that, Sean. That was a soundbite, actually. Sean didn't do that. You cannot go wrong with this Midwestern staple. All of our local fans likely already know about the number one selling bourbon in the state of Iowa, but some of our listeners from the rest of the country maybe haven't heard of them yet. That's all about to change since Cedar Ridge is growing and expanding like crazy, especially after winning Distillery of the Year in 2017. So it makes complete sense that one of the fastest growing podcasts in America is working with one of the fastest growing whiskey distilleries in America that is right in our backyard. If you're in Iowa, pick up a bottle today and support this amazing local company that is supporting our podcast. If you're elsewhere and you are a whiskey fan or have somebody in your life who loves whiskey, look them up, find out where you can get a bottle. You can order online and have it delivered right to your house, or you can pester your local retailers to order some. Do yourself a favor, click the link in the show notes to find out more. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
Cedar Ridge Whiskey.com.
CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
No, I am not your host or some odd being brought down from another planet to take over. Although that would be fun. My name's Marguerite Moreau, and I played Connie in The Mighty Ducks and Katie in Wet Hot American Summer. It's not about me, it's about the guys and what they've been doing. They talk about movies we love. They are passionate about it. They get into the nooks and crannies. They teach us new things to make us love the movies even more. And I can't wait to hear what they have for us today. Welcome to the Confused Breakfast Podcast.
Well, cake eaters, what do you say we quit our jobs and spend all of our time coaching a peewee hockey team while making zero money doing it in hopes of getting to make out with one of the kids' moms?
Please.
Lace up your skates, strap on your protective gear, grab your sticks, and let's hit the ice to learn some trick plays. Take the fall. Act hurt.
Get indignant.
Here we go. Quack. Quack.
Oh, yeah.
Quack.
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 Go Flyers.
Blues.
Gordon Bombay is an arrogant but successful Minneapolis defense attorney. After his 30th successful case, he celebrates by going out drinking, but is arrested for drunk driving and sentenced to 500 hours of community service coaching a peewee hockey team. Bombay meets the District 5 team and sees how absolutely dog shit terrible they are as a hockey team.
So these credits go on and on and on and on. Like, I understand, like, you want to give every, like, all the kids credit and everything like that, and all, like, you know, MC Gainey's in this movie, like, you got to give him credit and everything, but there's, like, paragraphs of names.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, that covered the cast. Like, they're going to go through, like, casting.
It's
and,
not
like,
that many people.
And the crew now and everything. And then, like, it shows a clip from the flashback or whatever, and it goes back, and it's another paragraph of names. Like, damn.
Dude. Yeah.
It's
like, Mark Anderson, key grip. You're like, what? Like, do we what have to talk about that now?
Second assistant key grip.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I should hate this intro.
Yeah, I know.
I should hate everything about this. I mean, it's very speed. It's fucking so long. There are so many names, like you said. But I love it. That, like, for some reason, maybe that's the nostalgia purpose of it. But the colors of the words and the very cinematic replay and like the kid hitting the ice and his breath's coming out that and there's like a spotlight on him.
It, yeah, yeah.
But yes, they could have like put the names over the top of the flashback,
right?
Instead of the like keep going back and forth. But I refuse to give this a bad intro thing like I did Speed.
Okay.
I like the intro. I think it's I do think it's fun. I like the Phil Collins-esque music in there.
It's pretty good.
Ooh, ooh. It's like, let's add some more synth in there. Yeah, let's do that.
Put some delay on that. Put some delay. Yeah.
Easy, ooh, yeah. Phil. Easy.
Ooh. So I like how it kind of feels like just a coach talking to their player, and you got to make this shot. You know, you're gonna don't let us down. You know, you got to do it. You do it. And then he looks up at him. He's like, "Okay, thanks, old Luke Skywalker. Sounds good." Because that's what you look like. You just look like an old Luke Skywalker with your very very like pressed like placed hair. You know. I love the goalie mask, though.
Dude, it freaked me out as a kid.
It did.
It was like a skull, skeleton wasn't it? Skull? Yeah.
It was.
That's like, awesome.
Why don't they wear that now? That looks amazing. And the eyes were like kind of blacked out.
Dude,
creepy.
It was badass.
You never see that again either.
No.
Like, well, during these flashbacks, because we get multiple.
Oh,
of them,
yeah.
It's got that, like, it's got the foggy out of focus look, and I'm like, that's how I know that's a flashback, but that's also how I know that my blood pressure is very high. Like, so I couldn't tell. It's like, I just got done eating a whole pizza. I was like, oh Jesus Christ. And then when it cuts to Emilio Estevez in the courtroom, I'm like, okay, thank God. I was like, I had 911 on speed dial. Come and get me.
Can't come into podcast practice tonight, guys.
Podcast practice. That's right.
Sorry.
We just do tongue twisters.
No, we finally meet Gordon in present day, and you know he's clearly this dope ass attorney.
Uh-huh.
Man, just total badass, total dick, hates hockey, just win license plates.
Yeah.
But one thing that went way over my head as a kid was when he gets pulled over for the drunk driving. First of all, drunk driving is not good, right?
It's not a good
thing. But they just kind of gloss over that, like no big deal, kind of. But he says, "We're going to take you in breath, blood, or urine."
He's like, "No thanks.
No thanks. I'm full." Oh my God. Like, I didn't know. I had no clue what they were even talking about.
I know.
But I'm like, he's in trouble. And doesn't he even say, he says, like, I had a whittle?
Yeah. he says, can you turn the radio down, play? Sure. I guess it was a whittle noisy.
And he goes, a whittle?
A whittle. You watch that now as an adult, you're just like, oh, fuck, that's like terrifying.
Yeah.
That's not a good situation.
You always hear the fucking old boomers talking about, oh, drinking and driving, mothers against drunk driving, ruined good times. Because now you can't, so like, maybe, and this is 92, maybe back then, like, drunk driving was not as as big of
drinking while you're driving.
The penalty of that was not as bad because they were. He's like, "What? Tell me what I gotta do. Like, no big deal." Yeah. Now you get a drunk driving, you're fucked.
It's crazy. Like I remember, I can't remember what it was. It was in Mad Men, and granted, that was like back in the 50s or 60s or whatever. But like, there's a scene in it where he gets pulled over, and like they're like, "Well, luckily we're just under the blood alcohol, the breath limit or whatever, like 1.3," and you're just like, "Holy crap, man!"
Like two wasted. Extra beers.
It's like a lot. Like that's drunk off your ass, man. This is the 90s.
Early
90s. And so I imagine that it's probably changed since then as well. Yeah,
I would think so. Because he's hanging out in court just being like, what do I got
to
do here?
Like, just tell me what we need to do. Like, it's like, okay. Yeah. He's hanging out in court with Stephen Brill, by the
Stephen
way.
Stephen Brill,
nice little cameo by the writer, Stephen Brill.
I was just going to say, man, the writer of this movie, he directed Heavyweights. He wrote D2, D3.
He's the other guy in the courtroom, the other attorney?
Yeah, he directed Little Nicky, Mr. D's Without a Paddle, Movie 43, Walk of Shame, like all the later Adam Sandler movies he's like a part of. And he's the guy in Wedding Singer.
Glenn Shitty Friend.
Yeah.
He's Glenn Shitty Friend.
And I love the way he goes, reckless endangerment.
That's such he's a good like, ooh, look at that. Ooh. It's like, oh no. The judge is like, I almost stayed home today. They're like, good, we fucking got you, you
asshole.
Shows
you quit being a fucking dick to everybody,
quit being
man.
A dick, man.
You gotta go for the W.
Yeah, go for the W.
I like the line where he's talking to his boss. He's like, you're gonna have to do some community service. He's like, community service? This is horrible. It's like, Jesus, man, you're getting off very, very good.
Do you understand?
Well, so how are you gonna get arrested for an OWI? And like just literally endangering people's lives, and you get sentenced to community service with kids.
Yeah,
like how kids, you just go straight to that. Like,
and you get a limo driver to drive you everywhere. Yeah, I know. Well, and you stay on salary. Yeah. Nothing bad has happened.
So this is the best possible outcome.
You got 5 hours of vacation, coaching kids with a limo. What?
Dude, I got suspended from high school in my senior year for 5 days, and we just went to the arcade. Every day. It was awesome. It was the best possible outcome.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Oh, how am I going to get caught up on all that homework?
Before he meets District 5, we get to meet some of the kids.
Yeah.
And they put the dog shit in the purse, right?
Yeah.
We did that in real life.
Did you really?
As college kids in Iowa City, we would, if anyone had to take a poop, we're out at the bars or something like that in the Ped Mall, someone would go take a poop. And get a little bit of that poop on the bottom of a $5 bill. And we'd scrunch that $5 bill up and put it outside the bar window in the Ped Mall. And we would watch for people to walk by and pick up the poop dollar. And I'm pretty sure, I never knew how we figured that out. I'm pretty sure it was from this movie. They were playing poop dollar, dude.
So you mean to tell me that you took human shit?
Yes.
And you wiped it on money?
On money and put it on the ground waiting for people to... And we would watch out
and
the window.
And you knew it was going
to
happen because it's a college town.
Yes.
Like, and it's a dollar, man. And,
yeah.
They're all broke.
If it was a $5 bill, you know...
A five spot?
That's like a beer or two.
Endless hours of entertainment because people would pick it up and we'd all be in the bar. We'd have 30 people around us looking out the bar window going, oh, yeah! And then they put it in their pocket. And, oh, fuck it! Same reaction as this fucker. It was the best.
Guy in his IROC Z28. Fucking. By the way, he's wearing a gold chain.
Yeah.
And like, he's got on his like nice like boots and stuff.
Minneapolis boots.
Yeah.
So I never followed my dog around to like put shit in like a purse or,
right.
or a five
you never
spot
did that?
Or anything like that. But I did follow my dog around when he was constipated and then cheered my ass off when he pooped. So I do remember that.
There you go. Ooh, full load.
Yeah.
Yes. What was that dude going to do when he caught the kids?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would probably like rub it in their face.
Oh shit.
Or something. Yeah. Well, and it's dog shit too. Human shit. Like if it was dog, if you did dog shit to people in Iowa City, that wouldn't be as bad. Human shit is fucked up.
That's pretty fucking foul, bro.
Yeah.
Came from inside my body.
That's like people who like clean fucking Five Mile Island need to come and take care of that before I touch it.
Just saying, dude. I guess, and I used to be
$5 is $5.
I used to be like, why is this guy so mad? Like, fucking who cares? But then I'm like, no, that actually would kind of suck.
Yeah, you're right.
Having Mike Schulte's shit on
him. Yeah, you got that shit in your car now, in your IROC Z28. Duxworth is a good guy, right? As far as you know right now?
I don't think so.
He's a good dude. I mean,
at
he's
this
like,
point in the movie, right?
Hey, I got you out of this, and like, yeah, I'm paying you. And like, I think Duxworth is kind of an okay well, guy.
You're too into your job. Yeah,
yeah because you're into your job. You need to get away. You need a break, and we're going to give you a break, and you're going to go work with kids. You'll learn fair play and teamwork and, you know,
I think
compassion.
those are his excuses to not like have bad shame on the firm and everything like that.
You're okay. Right. He just cares about the firm.
So okay. I think they're all skeezy. I mean, all lawyers are, but I think they're all skeezy scumbags, like as a firm. And he's just like, yeah, this is my excuse for you to be a good guy. And
okay.
Yeah, Duxworth's a piece of shit. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Duxworth is the piece of shit.
I mean,
inside that purse.
If you were Emilio Estevez, you'd be like, thanks, boss.
Yeah.
Great. Like, you're the best.
You're the best around. Like, that's what you, Duxworth, man. I'm telling you. I don't know. We'll get to it later, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe he changes.
Maybe I'll convince you.
Turns into Fucksworth.
Maybe I'll convince you. I don't know.
This movie also taught me very young as a kid that drug dealers would be in limos and would be dressed up yes. Very nice. That's the first thing they thought. It's a drug dealer driving in a limo out to you guys in broad daylight, ready to sell boots, dude, sell crack to you.
Another thing that, like, I'm telling you.
Is this going to be a big deal?
I was like...
Every time I was on like ice.
Fucking limos. Limo. Every time I saw limos coming around, bro, I knew it was a drug dealer. And no, actually, big part of it was like, I didn't even gather that like they thought he was a drug dealer, you know? Like,
as a kid?
This is it's all going over my head, man. Like, I had no idea as a kid. I was like, I don't know why they're upset with
him. Are they mad because it's a limo on the ice?
Like,
or?
He's like just rolling into their thing.
Ruining
and,
their
like,
game?
Ruining their game. And like, I didn't understand it at all. And Jesse's even telling him, like, he's like, you're not dealing around here. This is my dominion.
It's a drug-free zone. You understand?
He was really good in that scene.
He's actually intimidating.
He's done this before. Yeah. He's gotten people off his block before.
He's the older brother, and he's got to play that part, you know? Yeah. I never understood it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, then he's like, starts like into his jacket. Yeah. Sure, dude. Reaching into his jacket and like, oh, shit.
District 5.
I don't know if it's before this or like during the scene. He's like, I hate kids. They're barely human. Like, fuck yeah,
they're
dude.
Barely
I agree.
Human.
I agree.
Especially these kids. They fucking suck. They're delinquents, man.
One more thing is he's like, just drive on the ice. And then as MC Gainey, the limo driver, who's like, this is not my car and it's obviously expensive.
Yeah.
He's like, drive on the ice. No.
Look, I'm the one liable for this, okay? Like,
I'm driving your drunk ass around.
Yeah.
You're a fucking attorney. You're totally going to fucking sue me for this. Listen, I grew up on the ice. I know when it's safe or not.
I just know doesn't cut it.
And you can't have a 90s kids movie without like some sort of a fart joke point. Like, who farted? I can't believe somebody farted. I smelled it.
I think the dialogue, the writing in this is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I really do. And like, they're all upset with Goldberg or like when he's just like, you got a goalie? He's like, I do for right now, but I'm going to be moving back to Philly. Thank you for sharing that.
Like, no problem.
No problem.
I love that.
It's so fucking funny to me now. I'm like, this dialogue is brilliant.
Well, even the little kid, Peter.
Yeah.
When he goes, yeah, until he hurt his arm.
Until he hurt his arm.
And he goes, what do you mean? He's like, oh, you suck, you fuck, skate, you fuck. And like, heart attack. And I just remember being like, Bombay, how'd you know he had a heart attack? Yeah, I understand.
Are you a doctor too? Our lawyer's doctors? Yeah.
Your left arm
hurt me.
Happened to me before. Every once in a while, my left arm hurts.
Hey, my high blood pressure, man, it gets there.
Dude, oh God. It's just really, really good dialogue throughout.
Hi, I'm Connie.
Yeah.
We only lost by 5 goals. Almost scored our first goal, too.
Did you recognize who Connie was?
Yeah.
Hell yes.
What's her name in What How to Marry Summer, my man? That's
Katie.
The only thing that I recognize her from.
She is, I was definitely crushing on her back when I watched this movie.
Well, it confused me.
I still crush on her.
Oh,
she's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I crush on her in What How to Marry Summer.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But it was like very confusing seeing her. I'm like, where the fuck do I'm attracted to her. And I know that, but it's not in this movie. Where is it from? And it's
A little bit to realize that?
It took me a little while, too, actually. Did you also realize who Jesse is?
Jesse was Sandlot pitcher.
Yes.
Yes.
The heater.
The heater.
Yeah.
And also our boy Carp was heavyweights.
Was in heavyweights.
I think his name's Brandon Quinton Adams.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dudes.
Yeah, there's like an alumni of
it is
kids in this movie.
It's quite the all-star cast, like, or you know, like ensemble of kids actually. When you really think about all the other movies that a lot of these kids were in, it's crazy.
All right, so their first game with Bombay at the helm is against Bombay's old team, the Hawks. His old coach, Riley, is still the coach. District 5 is soundly defeated. For the next match, Bombay tries to teach his team how to dive and draw penalties, which results in another loss. Bombay visits his old mentor, Hans. While there, Bombay realizes the error of his ways and wants to help turn the team around.
So the thing about this scene that bothered me the most is like, well, you get Lane Smith as Riley coming in, but you get Bombay like flashbacking a little bit more. And then Riley comes in right there in front of him. And he's like, so, hey, what are you doing here? Came to see your old coach? And that's cool. He's like, no, I'm actually coaching Pee Wee for serving my community or whatever. Yeah. And he's kind of like scolding him and being like a dickhead to him. And I'm just like thinking to myself, so you're scolding in your old player, your old star player, who is a successful lawyer now. Meanwhile, you're still coaching the same peewee hockey team 20 years later.
Yeah. Now, is this a part-time job for Coach Riley? Right. Or is this a full-time gig? I don't understand.
Even still, like you haven't changed a bit and you're an asshole. And you're still like I've got a lot of money. I have a limo driver driving on ice.
On ice.
Dude, and think about it. This is like probably 18 years later and there's no Facebook or anything like that. How does he recognize
it? That's true. Yeah.
How's he like, oh, there's old Gordon Bombay all grown up.
Look at him. Gordon. I thought that was Gordon.
Man, I wish they'd take that one down. Actually, we haven't been doing this for a while. Props from the movie. I'm going to start it off because it's in here. I want the second place banner.
Yeah.
The Pee Wee 1973 second place banner. I want to hang that in my garage.
Okay.
That's my prop. If you think about it as we go through, you do yours.
I mean, right now I want a jersey, but I have one. Everyone does. You have one.
Yeah. I have one.
Coach Riley's jacket's pretty tight, though, too.
It's cool. I hate how he pops his collar.
But I kind of like it.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. He's popping his collar. You fucking Nick.
Fucking all Lane right, Smith. All right, all right. He's also the fucking asshole lawyer in My Cousin Vinny.
Yes, that's right.
So good.
Oh, God. I love that movie. I would have to say my item is the hockey stick that Fulton pulls out of the ice. Like the display Excalibur thing.
But why does he have to get that stick? There's plenty of sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Like he probably got six right behind you, man, with the right curve, you know? I don't know.
Thanks, Fulton. We know how strong you are.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you can pull it out of the ice.
Let's add a lot of sound effects. Yeah.
Like they'd put a real stick in ice. Yeah, it's probably a fake one.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
I've got a lot of things to say about the hockey of this movie, right? Because we are big hockey fans. Number one, the Hawks look huge. These are Pee Wee Hockey's like 11-year-olds. They're especially their D-men. That you don't ever see them. They're just the guys on the ice. They look fucking huge.
Yeah.
They are adults. Like, they didn't get kids for this. But secondly, okay, so they lose. I did some math here. You know how I like to do this. They lose 17-0 to the Hawks. Okay.
Which is a score that I'm pretty sure that I have let in as a goalie when playing beer league as an adult.
And you are better than Goldberg.
Thank you.
Stepping on the ice.
Thank you very much.
Having never played hockey, you are better than Goldberg. Thank just going to throw that out there. But, okay, so they lose 17-0. Assuming there are 3 15-minute periods, that is one goal every 2 minutes and 40 seconds. That is way too generous. Like, are you telling me that one of those Ducks players could have ever possessed the puck and like tried to be offensive with it and they could have connected some passes?
Yeah.
Are you telling me Goldberg could have ever made a save ever in the game? I mean, this should have been more like a goal every 20 to 30 seconds.
Yeah. I think
they score the opening goal in 10 seconds. Are you telling me that the Ducks get better throughout this game or that Coach Riley lets his foot off the gas? He's mad that they only scored 17.
I was just going to say. Like Coach Riley was like, we should be have twice as many goals against these pansies.
They should have 10. They should have 170 goals.
Yeah.
Like the Ducks are the most dog shit team of hockey players I've ever seen in my life.
Like, have any equipment? No. Like Goldberg has no pads on his legs at all.
That's where the line actually comes from. With nothing more than old editions of the Inquirer strapped to your shins.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Goldberg has taped to his legs is magazines.
The only time Goldberg ever touched the puck in that game was to get it out of the back of the net.
Yeah.
He never made one save.
Well, yeah, he was scared of it the entire. And by that rationale, you're right. They would have scored way more because he just gets out of the way of everything. Yeah, he's like, I'm not touching it, dude. I'm not letting it hit me. I'm scared.
So I, as an adult, do not buy that whatsoever. As a kid, I'm like, oh God, 17 nothing, but they suck.
Yeah.
No, fuck that.
Yeah. I think the Hawks players are, they are meant to look, they're definitely meant to look older
yes.
than like the Ducks players, even outside of the rink. But like they, it's like, you know, they used the camera angles and like, I swear they must've like hopped them up on stilts or something, man. Cause they're so much taller. By the way, the Oreo line,
dude.
Bro,
you can't get away with that anymore.
I can't believe that.
Well, and he even like, they even embrace that they do. At the end of the movie.
They
they're
do.
Like the Oreo line.
Yeah.
So half of me's like, are we, is it cool? Like, yeah. I don't know. Because you can't do that.
You can't do that anymore.
And as a kid, did you understand what that even meant?
Not at all.
Never.
It went right over my head.
No. Never. Like Oreos. What do we? Is it because they like Oreos?
Yeah, that's right. I had no idea.
How do you dip them? Like
yeah.
Jesus Christ. The Oreo.
My gripe about the hockey in this movie is that they don't turn on all the fucking lights.
Yeah.
Like the cutting edge.
Dude, why? What are we doing? You're playing a sport where your eyes have to be focused on this tiny puck the entire time. And in regular hockey, they have bright lights beaming down the entire time and they have just pockets of lights on.
Yeah.
Like it's you know, you walk into a place and you're like, is it closed? Because there's some lights on, but not all the lights are on.
Yeah, it's like they don't want to get the energy bill too high or anything like
what's
that.
Going on?
It's just Pee Wee hockey. So.
Well, it's just the Ducks. We got to get this game over with.
Yeah, we could beat them in the dark, literally.
Well, we just did. Kind of takes me back to a little bit of like Sandlot, how, you know, obviously there's like Charlie is kind of the main kid almost, but at the same time, it really is about the ensemble rather like the team is almost like a character by itself rather than being like, oh yeah, there's, and I'm like, is Charlie even really that good? And I don't think he is.
No, Charlie's not good.
He's not that great of a hockey player.
I don't think so either.
None of them are.
And so
he's not like even like a captain like or anything like
not,
that.
Not
like,
at this point.
Like gets them all together and rallies them and stuff.
Yeah.
They actually don't really like him. They call him Spazway.
Yeah.
And they're like, Spazway. Yeah, fucking Spazway. We hate him.
Like even at the end. Even at the end, like we'll get there, but they still don't believe in
him.
No,
they still don't. And you're right. It's just like he's not even really that good.
No.
But it all really shows like they all kind of take their turns in the spotlight, you know.
I guess
Charlie maybe gets a little bit more attention for his mom, you know, but that's about it.
Well, that's why Coach is paying attention.
Not mom.
To
him.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
So they lose badly to the Hawks. Now Bombay thinks they're gonna, you know, try to get some penalties because that's gonna help, right?
Oh yeah.
Tries to get him to cheat. That take the fall, act hurt, get indignant. Again, I'm like, I thought it was like get injured, something like
had
that.
No idea.
No, and still, I had to look up. And do you know what indignant means?
I do. It just basically means like you have no shame, like you're fine with.
It says feeling or showing anger or annoyance at what is perceived as unfair treatment. So it's a very like it kind of makes sense. It's probably like a legal term.
Okay.
That maybe lawyers would use that's what Gordon Bombay's thinking. Here we go.
I didn't understand
get
fully
indignant.
That is much deeper than I assumed I thought it was.
I had to look it up. I'm like
Jesus.
Yeah, and so obviously they fail at that too. They play that game and no, Charlie's not willing to cheat. They don't know how to cheat. They suck at cheating.
It's just he dedicated a full practice rather than trying to help anybody. He just dedicated a full day of work dedicated to taking the fall.
He's a goddamn scuzzy lawyer,
acting.
Man.
He is.
It's so bad. What are you laughing about, cream cheese boy?
1 point for the skirt.
I'd have to say that I do like Emilio Estevez in this movie. Like, there's some movies that I've seen him in that he kind of walks through and is just like, whatever. But this movie, he really seems to give a fuck about this performance, and he's like actually good in it. I don't know. It just seems like with a kid movie or something like that, like he would just kind of skate through and act like whatever. But I think he does a really good job in this movie.
Yeah,
so.
It's almost like he knew it was going to be complete and total success.
Yeah,
somehow because it went on to make a lot of money. The whole franchise did.
I heard he was surprised it was successful. Yeah,
was he really?
I think he was. Yeah. I think I read like he didn't expect it 100% to be like, yeah, I'm going to do this movie and I'm going to put it in there, but I don't know how good it's going to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
he's still a total skis ball.
Yeah.
Literally sucks. And it takes one trip to see Hans, who, by the way, do you see when that camera pans up and it shows him walking into Hans' skate shop?
It's huge.
It's like a fucking castle.
Yeah. It looks like a castle.
It's massive. What? It looks like an abandoned like Ford factory.
Yeah.
What is the overhead on that? Like, what are the heating bills and
That's
shit?
Right, dude.
I guess it is Minnesota State hockey, though, you know?
Seriously.
People love buying shit from him.
Cool. It's crazy. And he's already making skates for him when he walks in. He's like, Hans, are you like the magic German, Swedish, what is he, Scandinavian guy?
Scandinavian.
Are you the magic Scandinavian guy? Scandinavian magic?
Scandinavian magic.
I tried.
He does say at one point, he's like, God, you're morbid, Hans. And he's like, no, I'm Scandinavian.
that's a pretty European joke there. Yeah. So I did some more math. Okay. Hans says, you scored 198 goals that season.
I was shocked.
198. Now listen, assuming there are 12 games in a season, much like this season, that's 16.5 goals per game for Gordon. Okay? Assuming they're rolling three lines deep, he's playing a third of the game. That is one goal every 54 seconds. That is at least one goal a shift for Gordon Bombay in that season.
Good God.
Here's my issue. Gordon is literally once in a lifetime talent. This is the next Wayne Gretzky we're talking about. How in the world does he miss one penalty shot and no one walks over to him's like, listen, it's going to be okay. You're going to go to the NHL.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
It's just fine, dude.
This is peewee.
Yeah. He literally is a once in a generation talent and he stops playing after missing one penalty shot. And no one thinks to be like, dude, we'll take care of you.
It's fine, dude. Like, fuck your coach. Like, fuck that dude. He's probably going to work here for 20 years, you know? Like, fuck that guy.
Look, same fucking jacket.
Hey man, he's not going anywhere. Dude. You're going places, okay?
That, as an adult, I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, no, not even fucking Ovechkin scores 198 goals. He doesn't score 98 goals. He doesn't score 80 goals. He scores maybe 60, at his best.
Over 82 games.
That's right.
So, fuck that. Like, come on, man. Gordon Bombay, you should still be playing hockey in the NHL and not be a dumbass attorney.
Yeah, no shit.
I'll just become a liar.
Liar lawyer.
Yeah.
All right, so Bombay approaches his boss to sponsor the team, renaming them the Ducks and allowing them to purchase professional-grade equipment. Bombay recruits new players Tammy and Tommy Duncan and Fulton Reed. After teaching the team fundamentals, the team ties its next game 2-2. Bombay learns that due to redistricting, the Hawks star player Adam Banks should be playing for the Ducks. After overhearing an out-of-context quote about the team, most of the players walk out, resulting in a loss and forfeit to the Flames.
Mm.
I was impressed by the how much money did he get from Ducks worth?
$15,000.
That's pretty accurate for
I would think so.
A whole team's worth of Pee-wee League hockey equipment. Like,
shit,
that's
goalie gear itself, man.
Dude, it's bad. Like you get that stuff used and it's stinky, but like at least you don't have to pay thousands of dollars for it, you know?
And break it in.
Like, I was like, oh, well, they got that right for sure, you know? Damn.
Yeah, what 15 players and jerseys and all gear and rink fees and stuff? That adds up.
Yep.
About a grand a piece.
It's one of my favorite scenes is like where they just get to go raid Hansa's store.
Yeah.
And he
goodbye, Rachel.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's not a 90s movie without a montage with shitty 90s music.
it's perfect. It's the equivalent of like an action movie, like loading up their arsenal and like that kind of montage. I fucking love it so much. Just getting into go and like raid a place. Like, can you imagine that? It's like a shopping spree for a kid if they want to play hockey, you know? Yeah. And the $15,000, he's just like, no way. And he's like, talks him in with like all the publicity and like gets good vibes. And then he's just like, get your own jersey. He's like, yeah, okay.
All right.
You don't turn down your own jersey.
You don't turn down your own jersey.
Put it on the wall. It looks nice. Frame it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He did the right move.
He did.
That's good.
And the best part about these movies, though, like you just said, the montage, they know how to bring you in as a kid, like Blank Check.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shows you all the fun toys you can get, these cool montages.
Totally.
It does the store montage, then it moves on to the Fulton Reed skating through the mall montage.
This movie doesn't rely on having your eye candy be toys the entire time.
Yes, very correct. But I always wanted to rollerblade through the mall.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of this movie. Mall of America. Fucking awesome. Yes.
Dude, they completely wreck a human being. Like,
the lady?
They check that lady into the pond. That lady's day is fucking ruined. Yeah. Like, she's got to go. Like, if she had more shopping to do, done.
Yeah. Yep. Done. I mean, she can't do that.
Like, she could go buy another outfit, but like, that's shame. Like, no, you're not going to go walking wet into a place.
She's not walking into it's Von Mar like that.
Yeah.
It's cold outside.
Yeah.
She couldn't walk outside.
It's the middle of winter in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in St. Paul in like January?
No.
It's terrible.
Oh, okay.
Don't go.
It's awful.
It's fucking cold.
It's not a place you want to be.
Fuck that. Her day is ruined. Her month is ruined. Like, she's traumatized. She's going to talk about that for a long time. She's like, but like trauma, going to therapy about it. Yeah. I would.
Yeah. But he said he was sorry. It's the only reason I didn't press charges.
Yeah. It's like,
this movie single-handedly probably upticked the visitors to Mall of America. This and D2, both of them had Mall of America cameos where they like rollerbladed through it.
Yeah. Well,
do you think people have tried to rollerblade through Mall of America? Maybe. They have to.
It's got to be a common thing. I mean, between like this and then like when Tony Hawk came out, like going through skating through a mall.
Okay.
You know.
So I skated through my local mall here in Westdale, or Cedar Rapids, a Westdale mall, when it was like after hours. So we snuck in. There was a security guard there. And there was like people shutting down and everything like that. So we skated through and had the security guard chase us and everything. And like, then he called the cops while we were in there. And so the cops came, but we all got away. It was pretty fucking, that's like one of the most rebellious things I've ever done. But
that's a fucking movie scene, right?
I didn't push a lady into a pond. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't assault somebody.
You guys are admitting to some pretty crazy shit. I don't know. We'll see if we get there or not. See if something brings it out.
Did you coach a team and like make out with the mom or something like that? Or
no, I didn't have any mom makeouts like that.
Mom makeouts, dude.
I've screamed at some kids, probably.
Hell yeah.
They're not even human. So. Barely human.
What'd you think about Tammy and Tommy Duncan?
Yeah, man.
Our boy Danny Tamborelli from Pete and Pete, man.
Yeah. Great appearance there.
If I'm going to learn to figure skate, you're going to learn to play hockey.
Yeah. What do I know about hockey?
More than you think.
What do you think?
He's easily one of my favorite child actors. I know we talked about that on the Pete and Pete episode, but he's so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Every time he's on screen, I'm like, yes. You know? And like, I wonder... I didn't read anywhere, but I wonder if like they all got trained to skate. They had to have like got trained to skate.
You would think so.
Like, maybe some of them didn't or something, but I know Charlie Conway, that dude, he can fucking skate.
Oh yeah.
And Emilio Jackson or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's super interesting. I mean, like hiring kids to do one impossible thing, like act, and then having to act while skating is probably pretty hard.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Good point.
And Fulton Reed, our boy Fulton Reed, they really do a good job of making him seem like a larger than life kind of giant. Like his slap shot, I mean, I know this is all, I mean, he's shattering windows, he's knocking suitcases over,
one out of five.
But even like during the scenes when he's shooting pucks on the ice and he's breaking glass and hitting pipes, I mean, the cinematography of that is fantastic. Yeah. It makes you feel like, holy shit. I don't know if you guys play childhood sports, but I'd always be either playing hockey or soccer at the other end of the rink warming up, and you always look over and you see somebody just ripping shots fuck. Like, it gets into your head as a kid, and that's exactly what happens in this game. They all duck out of the way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even shoot the shot.
Statue of Liberty play, man. Is that what they call it?
Statue of Liberty play, coach.
Yeah, you got to create the spire or the distraction.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's a pretty interesting play.
But kind of fucked up because they sort of taught him how to skate.
Yeah.
But they didn't put him in the entire game until the last
second. Yeah, they're just like, you just sit there. Okay.
See your weapon. Let's go.
If you got a Fulton Reed, you park him. Right on the blue line.
Oh, yeah.
And no matter what, if the puck's on any end, and then you get him the puck and let him
fire. I'd say you park him right in front of the goalie and get a sniper to snipe that motherfucker in
there.
Just
do it.
Like, take the eyes away. Like, if we're talking hockey, let's take the eyes away.
He was the biggest body on the ice.
Screen, baby. Screen.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, put that dude out there, let him rip some fucking clappers just all day long.
He had a hell of a shot, too. Like, I was watching it, and him winding up and shooting, it was like, that's an actual hockey shot.
Yeah, that is not Fulton Reed, I don't think.
I don't know.
It has to be an actor.
It was a good shot.
Again, we were talking about that in The Cutting Edge. It is hard to fucking rip a slap shot.
Yes.
And that dude was nailing him.
Oh, yeah. Clapping.
You know, it's like their first real game. I think it's against the Cardinals. That's the game.
Yeah. That's where they tie 2-2.
The first goal they make, that Jesse makes,
first
right?
goal of the season, by the way.
First goal of their season. That they come out, like, it's very, like, I don't know, inspirational. Like, it gave me goosebumps even rewatching it, because you're just like, God, that's so awesome that those kids did that. You know, they figured out how to actually play the freaking game.
Yeah, one goal, and then like, but the sky's the limit. Yeah, now let's go out there and get another one.
Exactly. Like, I was just like, wow. Like, and the music is a great addition to this movie. Like,
yeah.
You might as well. It's big.
It's pretty good.
Just add lots of French horn anytime you want something epic to happen. French horn. Yeah, you get a French horn. Yeah. So.
Was is because I like that scene too, where his pop stands up. He's like, "That's my boy." It's like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
because we know Jesse and Terry's dad cares. He's giving up his overtime pay.
Yeah, give him my
see my boys
pay.
Taking falls.
He cares. I feel better for the dad than I do the kids, because he's been dedicating that time.
That's
you know?
True.
That's right, man.
That's my boy. Well, and then you got to feel like you feel bad for Adam Banks. Because Adam Banks wants to play hockey. And
so,
he might have a future, man.
So that was like a skeezy thing to me, like when he was talking to Hans and everything.
Yeah.
Like that. So you would be a duck, actually, so yeah. if these lines were changed. And so he goes and does that, like takes their best player, you know. I just, and like he's got all his friends on his team
totally,
still.
Dude.
But then I thought to myself, like, well, if he wants to play professional hockey, it's going to be like that.
Yes.
Like, you're going to get.
That's very true.
You're going to get traded out of nowhere sometimes, and you're just going to have to leave all your friends and go to this team.
Right.
And he takes it up. He's like, I just want to play hockey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's a tough position to put him in, man.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Especially as a kid. It's just like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you put it all on him, and it's like, you know, I think it's just Gordon utilizing his resources as he's a lawyer. He knows how these things work. He knows how to play these kinds of games. And he decided he was going to do it in the benefit, probably in a somewhat selfish way.
Yeah,
100%.
But
he's ruining this kid's young life.
Yeah,
no
he's just
deal.
Like, he's like, hey, hey, you know everything with your life? Are you like having fun playing hockey and stuff? Fuck that. Let's go, and you're going to play for my shitty team. Yeah. We're going to try to make it better.
Yeah, you're going to play hockey with your best friends and everything like that, and you're also like the best team in the league, and it's probably mostly because of you. And so like, we're just going to strip all that away.
Yeah, we're going to pull that, okay?
See you at practice tomorrow.
Yep, we'll see you there. And but I do – the reason I do like it is, if, you know, if you do the adult thing and you just view kids as pawns in your own Ponzi scheme, then you strip everything away. I do really like how he sticks it to Riley.
It's
because Riley's a piece of
shit. It is pretty good.
It's a good coaching move for sure. Get that best player out there, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, the Banks thing was sort of weird. It was like, oh, Banks is going to be a duck, but wait, let's wait 20 more minutes till it actually happens. There's a lot of internal discussion there.
There's some contracts got to be signed. You
know, a lot of stuff's got to change.
Is it a one-year thing? Is it 2 years? Who knows? You know,
because before Banks actually gets to the team, we get where the kids overhear Bombay talking to Riley. And I hate, man, the older I get, this seems like it's in every kid movie.
Yeah.
Things are going good.
Oh no,
we heard something bad, and
you
now we're all mad, and now we're gonna go back to nothing.
You were a hawk back in the day?
What?
Gordy was a hawk?
No way.
So, I mean,
and why does that, what does that change?
Because that matters.
They're the enemy. You're automatically an asshole because you were on that team.
I don't care that you bought me a bunch of stuff and taught me how to play hockey decently, and you were actually nice to me, and you treated me, and you were a father figure that I've never had before in my life, but I don't care anymore about
that. Yeah, fuck that.
I want to be a rebel. I'm Peter.
That's you gotta add.
Check out my leather jacket.
So is leather. Peter, see you around.
Is Peter not the kid from Christmas Story? The little
he's
bastard.
Not. He's not.
He looks so just rough. Like
the little bastard.
Yeah. Not Charlie, but like one of the goons. Like there's the
toady
yellow eye. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I don't know if that's him or not.
It's not. But okay. Holy shit! It is,
but they might as well be brothers.
It's like the same character.
Short yeah. man complex.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. Like I just it's a bit of that trope. I just yeah. gotta hate it.
We gotta add some drama.
It's a conflict. Yeah, you gotta add that one last little motivation for the kids and everything like that, and then like all fired up, and like also as the audience and everything.
Forgive me if it's a deep take, but I wrote this down thinking while I was watching this happen, and I realize you think about like Gordon now, and I think about like this movie is about the Mighty Ducks, but like Gordon Bombay is the main character,
100%.
And there's this point where you realize he's still discovering himself, even as like an adult. He's being successful in his career, and his work is his life, and he's not really doing much of anything outside of that, right? Mm-hmm. And like he's thrown into this, and all the things that Duxworth was saying in the beginning of like, you need to learn compassion and teamwork, and you need to figure this shit out. You're an adult, and like all you do is ever work. The personal references that Bombay is making, I think it's a good representation that he's still finding himself in a way. And he's repeating a lot of things that he's heard his father say, or he's heard Coach Riley say. And like when he's talking to Charlie, he's like, fake the goalie right out of his pads. And his dad said that to him when he was a kid. Or,
yeah.
Or, Peter, you come back to me when you're talking to me, when I'm talking to you, son. Yeah. That's what Coach Riley said to him. So he doesn't know how he's learning how to interact and figuring himself out, too. And I saw that this time around. I was like, God, that's kind of deep, actually, for his character. It's very subtle, but I just think it's a big thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, how old do you think he's supposed to be in this movie? I mean, he's an accomplished lawyer at this point. Like, what's your guess?
Upper 30s?
Upper 30s?
I was going to say he's like 30, 31.
So, Mighty Ducks 2, at the very beginning, mm-hmm. he's doing his tryout.
Right.
And it says a year later from coaching the Mighty Ducks to a state championship, 29-year-old Gordon Bay.
29. Okay. So
he's 28 in this movie. And it takes like 7 years to go through university and law school.
Yeah.
So 7 years of that plus then like you don't just start fucking excelling at cases. Remember he goes, Jane's handling my cases? She's only been out of law school a year.
Yeah.
But yet he's been doing cases and he's done 30 of them.
Yeah,
so like
30 cases.
Holy shit, this guy has not lived his life whatsoever. No. He just came out of high school and went straight to college and law school and worked his way through it. So he's got like zero life experience really, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad they didn't say his age because are we supposed to buy that?
Hey, are we supposed to buy a lot of things about this movie, Sean?
That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe a slap shot could be strong enough to like force the goalie into the goal.
Maybe.
I've seen crazier things.
All right, so let's move on here. So Duxworth, being an old friend with Adam Banks' dad, tries to force Gordon into letting Banks stay on the Hawks. Gordon refuses and is fired from his job. Bombay manages to regain his players' trust and brings Banks onto the team, where their victory over the Huskies gets them into the playoffs. They celebrate at the Minnesota North Stars game, and Gordon goes on a date with Charlie's mom.
So see, guys, I told you Duxworth was a good guy all along.
Not really, okay. Bro. Duxworth, just sweeping shit under the rug.
Duxworth is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like this is like, and like I say, I think in the beginning, I feel like in the beginning, he is trying to help Gordon, or that's the way it's perceived. And he's trying to do this thing by him, and he does get him out of that, but that's what, and then like you say, it's like, yeah, all these things are actually coming around. Well, so-and-so is actually one of my oldest friends, and I'm doing everything, and fair play, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I'm Duxworth, quack, 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 do what I say.
Collect your belongings, Mr. Bombay.
Yeah.
Thousand
Gordon, I'm going to make this very simple. Are you prepared to lose your job over some kids?
Are you prepared to fire me, sir?
Collect your belongings. I mean, he thought 1 second about that?
Yeah.
He's been waiting to fire that fucker.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Get this guy out of my office.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, he's probably like, I should have fucking made your ass go to jail, you know?
Yeah.
Can I reverse this?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, all that.
Yeah, wait, hold on. bring back the drunk driving charges. Yeah, well, send him to jail. He's not coaching the team anymore.
I don't know if you can do that. Well, like, everything's expunged.
Say it cleared out. You know, okay. He does say at the beginning of the, when he shows up, he's like, "Hey, congratulations! Your court order thing came through. Your 500 hours is served, and you're free and clear." And he's
see
like,
you later.
"Great! So you want to talk about me coming back to work and stuff, right?" And he's like, "Nope." I'm gonna talk to you about quit fucking around with this peewee hockey shit. You learned something, right? Great. Let's get back to fucking killing cases, all right? Let's do it. Jane sucks.
So then he goes into the high school to rescue the kids. By the way, that principal was terrifying.
Terrifying. Yes.
Very deep voice.
And her like eyes are twitching in the middle, like,
"You sit!
No! Sit now!"
All
of them. She goes, "Where can I find these kids?" They're in room 404. All of them?
All of them.
Now, what are the blue balls? Right over my head as a kid. Why are they laughing? I don't know.
Why do they think that's funny?
Now, what are we also filled with? Pizza.
That was a good line.
I love that.
Another molecule that makes up 90% of your body. Pizza?
Pizza?
Yes.
Thank you, Danny Tamborelli.
So good.
Do you guys know what a cake eater is?
I read it. What is it?
So,
according to TikTok.
Oh, what is TikTok?
Well,
say it is?
If my understanding with TikTok,
is it something sexy? Is it sex?
Well, I mean, my understanding is cake is another reference for ass, and so he's just calling everybody ass eaters.
No way!
So yeah, it's just
I fucking love cake.
He's just ass eaters, man. He's just telling everyone. He just told Gordon Bombay,
"You're ass eater.
Just go eat some ass, bro."
No, apparently a cake eater refers to the rich suburb of Edina, Minnesota, and how people there are so rich that they can have their cake and eat it too.
Mm.
And it could actually refer to rich white suburban kids in general. So obviously, being filmed in Minneapolis, he's literally calling him a cake eater from Edina, which he basically was.
Yeah.
Rich kid from the Hawks, man.
That's deep. That seems like
have your cake and eat it too.
More of an adult understanding thing. Like it's kind of.
You probably heard his dad say
probably.
It. Probably. Cake eaters.
Walking on all of us.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so Banks is probably the best player in the league.
Right.
Are you telling me that kid can't step on the ice? It's only 1-1 at the end of this of his first game as a Duck.
Yeah.
He scores one goal.
Well,
Banks, he just came from scoring 17 on a team full of great players in the Hawks.
Yeah.
He's going to score one.
It's like
maybe he's got to adjust to being on the team a little bit, you know, just like kind of get all that chemistry going. And
you were kind of seeing like they didn't really want him there. They weren't passing him the puck. They weren't playing ball with him, you know.
He is so much better than the Mighty Ducks players that he can just go take the puck from them
correct
and go score.
Yeah, he's right.
But Banks is a good dude. We like Banks. Right. Banks is a good player.
Yeah, I know. Banks is a good player. And like, you know, like we said, like he just wants to play hockey. They say like in Bombay's just like Banks can play if he wants to, but like I just want we should play hockey. He does show up. He's a good player and he starts to mesh with them eventually, you know. So, I don't know. He's open the whole time, and Jesse's just fucking around.
I'm open right here.
Great one-handed, like, background. They scooped it kind of. Oh, yeah. Nice goal, Banksy.
I read about that character, Banks, the actor who played him. Apparently, he was a kind of a big fucking dickhead to the rest of the kids of the cast.
Seriously?
And I forget what I exactly read, but I think he got kicked off the set a couple times.
No kidding.
What?
Yeah, just like they warned him for not being a dick to him and shit like that, and he did it again, and I think they kicked him off the set a couple times. And
damn,
I don't know if it was
Banks?
Like the end of the movie or something like that, but yeah, I read that. He was kind of a dickhead.
Great actor then, because I didn't buy that at all.
Yeah, like, I know.
Well, he's such a nice guy.
He came back in two and three.
Was he in three though?
He wasn't three.
Okay, he was definitely in two.
Yeah. In three. Yeah, because in three he gets bumped up to varsity.
Oh yeah.
Because he's so good.
Well, he is. So I've got a theory here. What do you think the most important goal in the history of the Mighty Ducks franchise is?
Well, the most important goal?
The most important goal scored in the entire franchise. Sean can't answer this. Is it like is it Charlie Conway's breakaway penalty shot to win the championship?
I think it's that shot. Yes.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think the most important goal
in Mighty Ducks history is Fulton Reed's last second bomb in this game to win 2-1 to go to the playoffs.
Oh, good call. You're
now,
right.
Now picture this, right? Okay. Let's say he doesn't score. Let's say it's 1 out of 5. Let's say it's the 4 out of 5 and it misses.
Right.
There's no Minnesota St. Champs. They don't go to the playoffs.
Yep.
There's no junior Goodwill games for Mighty Ducks 2. There's no college hockey. There's no Minnesota Miracle Man. There's no Gordon Bombay minor league tryout. Gordon just quit his high-paying job to coach a peewee hockey team where he doesn't make any money.
Yep.
If this gold does not go in, none of that happens.
Correct.
And Gordon's life is in shambles. Absolutely. Pure. That is their last game. That puck hits off the post and clanks, and the season's over.
Yep.
Now what?
Yep.
Most goal in the history of Mighty Ducks.
In the history of Mighty
is that
Ducks.
That goal, Fulton Reed's bomb right there.
You know,
which, by the way, is from like mid ice.
Yeah,
it's from like the red line.
The red line. Fuck. Yeah, you know
is
what?
Is that? That's the one where it goes I think it through the net.
I think it rips the net. Yeah that's okay. The one.
I have a follow up question to your question.
Okay.
Okay. Now, can you answer this? And Sean, you can get in on this one too.
Awesome.
What, in the series of movies and everything, what is the least important goal? And it can be from opposing teams, like the Cardinals or somebody. What is the least important goal in this series of movies?
I don't know.
I think it's Gordon Bombay's kiss on Conway's mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Goal.
It's pretty decent shot he shot.
We didn't need it.
Yeah.
we didn't need any of
that. That's the second least important.
Oh.
Okay. However,
what's the least?
The least important is Gordon Bombay's shot in the very beginning of this that he missed going into it, because it turns out it didn't even lose the game.
They went into overtime.
They went into fucking overtime. And they fucking lost. The most unimportant thing.
It's like there's after that, there's still a chance, but they run off the ice like they just won.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Wow.
Yeah. They just there's
the
no
goalie skating full speed to his bench.
He's like, guys, I did it. It's like, you didn't even do anything, idiot. You got kiss the pole.
Yeah.
You didn't even help.
No, it's part of the goalie's equipment, you know?
Yeah. Fucking Skeletor's over there celebrating. And meanwhile, it was pole love the whole time. And they still got to play overtime.
Here's what you do. You console Gordy. You say, no big deal. Hey, score on your next shift. Because you've been scoring on every shift so far this entire season.
Correct.
So we're going to put you out first shift of overtime. Go score.
Yeah.
Boom.
Hey, we're just going to get you right back out there. Shake this one off. It's fine because it's not even that big of a deal. And we're going to win this game and be champions again.
That shocked me because, like, then they tie against the Cardinals, like, earlier in the movie. One, I fucking hate ties, especially, like, in kids' sports and stuff like that. And, like, they all get a trophy for participation. Like, fuck that. There's winners and there's losers.
That shit.
You learn from losing and you fucking celebrate when you win. You're like, you did a good job. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But like, so if that was the championship game, so there is overtime in championship games and not okay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like they didn't lose. I mean, they lost in overtime, but they
And also remember when I broke down how many goals Gordy scored that season?
Right.
Yeah.
He scored 16 and a half per game. So did that mean it was 17-17 going into overtime? What the fuck?
Yeah.
So many things wrong with this movie.
This just isn't adding up, man. It's just not adding up.
That's why I got to get hired for these movies. I'll be like, guys, you can't say he scored 198 goals, okay?
Nope.
You just can't say that.
No one scored that in any season ever.
Well, if you say that, then he needs to make that goal because otherwise your statistics are fucked. So.
Sean, how surprised were you to see Mike Modano and Basil McRae when they went to the Minnesota North Stars game?
I don't know who the fuck they are.
You do?
No,
I at least know Mike Modano.
You're not an old-time hockey fan.
I know the name Mike Modano for sure, and I know like the North Stars. And I think like as they were transitioning to Dallas is like this around this time.
Oh man,
it was a couple years later.
It was a couple years later.
It was like 2 years later.
And then like the Whalers became Carolina.
Yes,
because they played. Yeah, they played the Hartford Whalers in that game.
Yeah.
Dallas Stars 93 is when they moved to Dallas.
Right around then.
Mike Modano's a fucking man rocket. He looks so sexy.
Yeah.
A man rocket.
He's a man rocket, dude. And he goes, I heard you were a farmer.
Yeah. So not a lawyer.
Oh, really? I heard you were a farmer.
And like, why would Basil McRae be able to hook him up with a minor league tryout?
It's all about who you know, baby. It's all about who you know, and I know Basil McRae
totally cares about what the minor league team's up
this
to.
This guy used to rule Pee-wees. It's like, you still remember that? Haven't you been through like 8,000 games and leagues like
we've moved
leading
on.
Up to the NHL?
Well, no, they do remember because literally Wayne Gretzky, number two, the best player of all time, quit playing after penalty shot.
You're right. I wonder what team Basil McRae was on.
Turns out he was on that Skeletor's goalies team.
That's right. This guy used to rule Pee-wees. It's like, yeah, he scored 16 goals on us that game, that season. Every game we played.
Game.
Yeah, per game. It was insane. Haven't seen it since.
As a hockey fan, I loved seeing them. I'm like, North Stars, holy shit. Like, they're at a practice. How'd they get to go to the practice?
I thought it was such a cool thing. And I love this scene that it rolls into, by the way. This is the most feel-good... Some of the most feel-good sports, like this to me, is on par with Sandlot's
Fourth of July
scene.
Okay,
for me, because it's everyone's just having a good time. Like you can tell, like they even used some like B-roll footage in this that they were just like
they
had cameras on
right.
the ice and. There was definitely just people just kind of, hey, we're all going to go have a fun skate.
Yep.
This will be a good time, and let's all just relax. And it could have been after the movie was done for all
Very
we
well,
you know. And then they all go, like, the community of going to a hockey game. This is why I love going to hockey games.
We're going.
And, like, you get to go, and you all sit in a big row with all your friends. And it's so much fun to do that and experience that together. Hockey is... literally one of the best sports to go and watch live. I love live sports regardless. I'm not like a huge I'm not huge into football or baseball or anything, but I love going to live sporting
Absolutely.
events, and but hockey is the cream of the crop. Mm-hmm.
I say so. We talk about that on Patreon.
I'm Boom. down.
Done deal.
Boom.
All right, so last and final scene, the Ducks.
Well, can I talk about how the relationship of Conway's mom?
The Ducks march through the play. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So I just don't think this is needed at all. Like,
oh, yeah.
The romantic angle that they pull. And I know it's just to like make the feel-good movie feel a little like even more good. But
didn't need it.
I don't think so. They could have just been like buddies, like friends. Like, yeah, I'm just good friends with Charlie Conway, and like your mom's around too, and she's cool. Like, we don't need to have him fuck, you know?
Right.
I like a lot of fucking in movies, but I don't think that it needed this. And it just made like the dynamic with him and Charlie a little weird. It's like, you know, she's attractive, right? He's like, what the fuck, kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Are you pimping your mom right now?
I'm looking
doing?
For a dad.
Yeah, I'm looking for. I need a dad. Okay.
It's like I can be your dad, but I don't have to fuck your mom while doing it.
I mean, I could if you want me to.
Then I'll be your daddy.
Yeah. Then you're gonna have to call me daddy, and I don't like that. Okay.
I'm your coach. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
You call me coach.
Like, you know what? You're still gonna call me coach, even though I'm your dad now. It's like
fucking brat.
I'll make your mom call me coach. Too.
Oh God. Make your mom come.
Anyway, all right. Next
I will say, they go and they walk around. They're having a nice evening, and you know, she kind of lets him in on that little bit of a secret. That's like, you know, I used to pretend it was a castle and we lived there, and that was my room, and then that was Charlie's room. He's like,
which one's my room?
Which one's my room? And you're kind of like,
none of them. You fucking weirdo. Well,
like,
what the fuck?
As a kid, I'm like, yeah, which one's his? You guys are gonna be like. Which one's gonna be like happily ever after? Because you guys live in a castle and stuff. It's like, this is awesome. I love this. Like, you guys are gonna be awesome together. And then she's just like, you just don't get it. You don't get it.
I don't even own that castle. It's not a real room.
Stop butting into my fantasies. And you're just like.
I was just kidding.
And he's like, look, I was just playing around. Like, I'm sorry you got upset. So it's just not that simple. It's like, well, apparently it was for you. Why can't I have a room in the castle? It's kind of fucked up. I want to have some fun too.
That's why some of these scenes could have just been cut. If Sean had his way, that's not even a scene. We're moving on.
Nope.
We're not even mad.
Apparently that was a really, really fucking cold night. And that was like a problem with this production. It's like, it was just super cold.
It felt cold, man.
Yeah.
Well, and during this scene, when they kissed, their lips got fucking stuck together. No joke.
Are you serious?
They had to like literally fucking, what's the Christmas Story? Another reference.
Like warm water and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, can you imagine like being an actor and kissing somebody and like just being stuck to their mouth?
Oh, this is kind of funny.
They had to cut away before they broke their kiss.
broke off of their lips.
They just fade the camera. Just fade the camera up. Just pan it up. Oh!
One water.
Go on.
Again, St. Paul in January, guys. Don't go there.
Don't do it.
All right, so final scene. The Ducks march through the playoffs with wins against the Hornets and the Cardinals, reaching the championship game against the Hawks. Riley orders his team to injure Banks to force him out of the game. In spite of this, the Ducks manage to come from behind and win the state championship on a last-minute penalty shot from Charlie. Some days later, Bombay boards a bus to a minor league tryout.
Nice.
So you're more of a hockey person than I am, and I admit that. I know how playoffs work. Okay. Is this?
Oh, yeah. Keep going. You got me.
Look, playoff seeding. If they're the worst team in the playoffs, then they have to play. If they're the number eight team.
Eight teams, right?
If they're number eight out of eight, they have to play number one out of eight.
That's how every fucking tournament works.
And that means they would have been like, oh, shit, we got to play the Hawks next.
Yeah.
Not. We might have to play the Hawks later on down the road.
In the championship game.
There is no way they could have been in the championship game.
No. They should have literally played the Hawks first game.
First and foremost.
First game out of the gate.
So who did the Hawks play at all after that?
Yeah, apparently number two.
But did they play them over and over and over again? Yeah. Like, did they do a seven-game series just for them?
No, so they only played three games, which means the Hawks played number two, three played four, five played six, seven played eight, and then the winners reseeded, like, which makes no sense. Why do you care what seed you're in?
They just fucking round-robin and did a potato sack race to see who went first, and that's like, what the fuck
just bingoed this fucking thing. Like,
but that's movies for you. It's like when it happens in real life, it's never that perfect, right? It's like, take Miracle on Ice, 1980 Olympics. Most people think we beat the Soviets, right?
Yeah, right.
And you can't imagine us winning this game. That was not the gold medal game.
No. Well, you're right, right.
They still then had to play another game.
That's right.
But if you're writing that story, that is the championship game.
Yeah, that's the story. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it's not real life.
It goes to show, you've got to add a little bit of drama, even as unnecessary as it is with kissing Charlie's mom.
You got to change things around.
Absolutely shoehorning what a playoff setup is like. I guess you got to do what you got to do.
And I mean, let's be realistic here. They literally didn't score a single goal all season until their second to the last game. They've only scored four total goals in the history of their season. They went from a 1-10-1 record squeaking into the playoffs to beating the Hawks.
Yeah.
This is not a realistic sports story.
Well, thank God the Panthers got the measles.
Thank God. You're right.
Fuck, dude.
Thank God the Panthers got COVID, dude.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and then the Huskies got hit with COVID.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay.
And by a bus, and they're all dead.
They're all fucking dead, but it's great because we made the playoffs.
Yeah, there we go. We did it.
I've noticed in
two movies in a row, they shoehorned in the our main characters to a good playoff position.
They're just going to force that in.
I've noticed.
Shoes are wet.
I've noticed in the past, this is becoming a segment. I seem to really hate certain people's faces, and I call it the most punchable face. Have you noticed that?
I didn't
realize that this was a thing, so I'm going to make it a thing.
I'm glad.
Mike's most punchable face of the movie. Yeah. Do you want to know who it is?
Please.
Mike McGill, number 7 from the Hawks.
Oh,
yes.
Shit.
He is the most punchable face of this movie.
Does your mommy know you have dad?
I thought you were going to say Conway's mom.
Yeah, well. No. Can't punch girls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, even though, what'd you do? Yeah. My job.
Oh, yeah.
Most punchable face of this movie.
Didn't Fulton take his ass out, though?
Yes, he did.
Okay, good.
He did and got a game misconduct.
I'm gone. I'm gone, coach.
He goes, I'm on, coach. I'm off, coach.
Hey, man.
That guy fucking deserved it, man. He earned it 100% to just get. I wish he would have gotten hurt more.
Yeah, and that's hockey.
It's like, I don't always want kids to get hurt. Not always.
I mean,
not always.
Not always.
A lot of times.
Most of the time I do. But I really wanted that kid to get like blood on his face or something. You know, he needed, or like an ankle injury, just something crippling, you know, just so he doesn't play hockey anymore and he's got to just get a normal Joe Schmo job.
But that's hockey honor and hockey 101 right there, too, is you step up for your team.
Yeah,
that's right.
You take yourself out of the game even. So
yep. God, I fucking love
respect.
Hockey. One of the things I know about hockey, I'm a very knowledgeable guy, is I know that you have to have a helmet on when you take a penalty shot.
Yes. You have to have it on at all times.
Yeah, and Charlie just gets to take his off when he takes the game-winning penalty shot. So I know these things. So you're not allowed to do that. Shouldn't count. If you want to bring it back Disney style, which this is a Disney movie, right? I mean, for the most part, I think this is a Disney movie.
It's a Disney movie, yeah.
Okay. As a child, I was always like, yeah, like, fucking Charlie's the worst player on the team. Why would they let him take this penalty shot? They can win the game. Even the other players are like, Charlie, no!
Yeah.
We got to win this game. But then as an adult, you're like, first you're like, oh, it's because he wants to date his mom. Like, he's got to look good here. Yeah. But then you're like, oh, it's all coming back around Disney style, right?
Yeah.
He's in the exact same scenario he was when he was a child, and his coach was a fucking asshole. He's like, you got to win the game or else.
Right.
And he was able to put his version of himself in the same position and be like, doesn't matter. Hey. Have fun out there.
Yeah.
Nice little Disney moment, bringing it all back around, you know?
It does.
But also, he's getting in with mom later.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
Win or lose, he's getting it with mom.
Win or lose, he's winning.
Freezing them lips. Oh, yeah.
He's about to triple deke that ass.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, you know it.
Triple deke has to be on Urban Dictionary.
as schmoozing a kid to get to his mom.
My last
the old triple deke, dude.
Oh my god, yeah. Triple deked him, huh? No, it's got to be like a prominent figure, like someone the kid looks up to. That's got to be like a definition.
let's we're gonna write that. We're gonna put that up on the Facebook for sure. Perfect. What is Urban Dictionary of a triple deke?
A father figure.
Quit
sliding in with your mom is a triple deke.
A father figure sliding in with the mom of a kid who doesn't have a dad.
Triple deked all three holes.
Oh, no. Oh, God. We're done.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Is Goldberg even a good goalie? I think he made one good save, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Sean, let's talk about my biggest gripe of the movie. Goldberg is the worst goalie in the history of hockey.
Yes.
No.
He stands there.
Dude, he didn't make a single save that he wasn't expected to make or that was super easy.
Yeah.
Like, he never once made a, like, oh my God, save.
Yeah. Well, even like there was a wraparound goal that happened. He had plenty of time. Like, it's a little kid going around a net. Like, it takes like 10 minutes. When it takes like a real NHL player, it takes like a second, you know? He could have dove or like try. He just doesn't try.
They never sold that, even though the rest of this team miraculously went from not even being able to skate to like a hockey powerhouse because of new jerseys and new equipment.
Yeah.
They could still never win with Goldberg in goal.
Yeah.
You could have put Goldberg on the Hawks and the Hawks would not win a championship.
Correct.
Because goaltending is the most important position in hockey, and he is dog shit.
It's a last line of defense, literally. That's it.
And like, we may get to D2 someday, but Julie the Cat Gaffney was 5 million times better than Goldberg.
10 times better.
And they still didn't put her in because she's a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sexist bullshit.
All right. Well, that last thing I got was the ending. So Bombay gets on a bus to try out for a minor league hockey team.
Yeah.
Okay. He's 28, hasn't played hockey in 10 years.
No.
Sorry, 18 years, right?
Yeah.
This is not going to happen. He's not going to make the minor leagues. Secondly, he gets off the bus and he says, guys, no matter what happens, I'll be back next year. We got a title to defend.
Yeah, title to defend. Nope.
If he makes the fucking team, how is he going to come back and coach minor league or coach the Ducks?
Yeah.
How is he going to come back and coach the Ducks? The coach will not let him be like, oh, I'm sorry, coach, I got to go back and coach. You know, coach here, I got to coach.
Oh, you know how it is.
not with that $1.8 million one-year contract, you're not.
Yeah.
So you're playing fucking hockey, dude.
Yeah.
False promises, Gord Bombay.
He's a lawyer, dude. He starts as a lawyer, ends as a lawyer. Motherfucker.
Also, you guys taught me to turn the closed caption on. I hate closed captioning.
Okay.
Hate it. when it's news things, I don't want to read it. I just want to experience it. And right. then, but going back to these old movies, I'll turn the closed caption
that's,
on.
That's what I did for this movie. Like, new movies I don't want to do. And, like, new movies I don't, like, take notes with no. either. I watch it and right. then rewatch it and then take notes and shit.
There was a line at the end that I never heard in my entire life. Gordy kisses Charlie's mom.
Yeah.
And somebody in the background goes, Banks is next in line. Referring to like him kissing Charlie's mom, and Charlie turns around and like slugs somebody. Like, oh. What? How is that a line in the movie?
What?
So are they all what? In line?
Are we all in line to kiss his mom?
Let's do it, man.
Oh, let's do it, bro.
Man, oh man.
All right.
Kisses everyone goodbye on the lips, and then he goes five hole on his mom, and that's
song.
It.
That song at the end's dope, though.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
oh, yeah.
I'm playing it right now. It's amazing.
Well, who's it by? Fucking, it
doesn't even matter.
It
does matter.
You want to know? It's a prominent band that I like anyway.
Is there a porno called Mighty Fucks? It's by The Outfield.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Winning it all by The Outfield. Wow.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
All right, so we are done with the Mighty Ducks here, and what we like to do is we've talked about what our nostalgia ratings were, but now we watched it with a critical eye, and we like to talk about what our modern-day ratings of these movies are. AJ, what do you got, man?
Modern-day ratings. I still had a great time watching this movie. Like, and I even one of the big things for me as far as like rating in the critical adult eye, right? Is am I still seeing new things? Am I still experiencing it in a somewhat new way? Finding new little ticks and Easter eggs, things here and there. And I still felt that way with this movie. I think that the story's good. I think that there's depth. I think that it's a kid's movie, but I think there's plenty of humor for adults. There was a whole joke that Goldberg says when he's tied to the posts, mm-hmm. that he says, he's like, yeah, he's like, my mom wants me to live for my bar mitzvah. He's like, this is your bar mitzvah. You're about to become a man. He's like, it's mixed up in the ceremonies. This is more like circumcision. And he's like, all these jokes that fly over your head as a kid, right? And so I love that so much, and being able to experience some of those jokes almost for the first time, it feels like, as an adult is great. So still had a great time watching this movie. I'll watch it again and again. And I believe I was a 9.1 starting out. Although I probably didn't love it as much as I did when I was a kid, I'm still going to put this at an 8.4.
Nice.
8.4. So Sean, you've never seen it. What's your modern day rating of it? Your one time rating.
I really like this movie. It's so much fun. Like I said, I love hockey, and like AJ said, like a lot of the jokes probably would go over my head if I was a kid, but I got them this time around. I would picture AJ watching this movie and like chuckling and laughing. Like even the scene where I think it's Goldberg and the one other dude, they're on top of the limo or whatever, and they're both like blowing like their fucking lips on the window or whatever.
Carp.
I was like, I know AJ's laughing his fucking ass off right now. And so it's just so enjoyable, and it's a lot of fun. It, like 21% on Rotten Tomatoes is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's so much fun, and I can't wait to watch the sequels because I haven't seen those either. So I'm a 7.1.
7.1. Look at that. Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, it's nostalgic as fuck, but it's still a great movie. I mean, clearly, I loved it enough to watch. I watched the Disney Plus one, like the new Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, just because it's like, fuck yeah. Love the Mighty Ducks. Love hockey. Great story. Feels good. There's a lot of issues with the hockey on. Like, it's the start of the participation trophy world is like, no, if you just work hard, you'll do good. No, you won't.
Yeah. Sometimes you fuck up.
You're good. You can't beat the Hawks.
Yeah.
They're really fucking good.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, that aside, it still felt great. I do love I think this is one of those movies where maybe the sequel is better than the original. I know there's only a few of them in the world, but D2 might be a little better than Mighty Ducks 1. We'll
you
get
think
to it.
So. We'll get there.
Maybe.
We'll get
maybe.
There.
Maybe. We'll see.
Who knows?
But yeah, I'm going to be a straight 7 on this one.
Straight nice. 7.
Straight 7, baby.
My last thing I didn't get to really mention or that we talked about much was a lot of the skating and the cinematography of the skating. I know we talked about that a lot on like the Cutting Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really good this time around.
Better this time around.
I thought it was like really good, and the unsung hero of this movie was the radio announcer through every fucking game who has to sit there.
He's good.
And announce it. And I'm like, Aaron, get your man. He's bringing out the round.
And it adds to real hockey, that shit, and it added to this movie, too, and I'm glad they included that.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done that way.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Really means the absolute world to have you here with us. Tune in next Wednesday for another movie review. We're going to take a trip to the North Woods with John Candy in the great outdoors. We've been talking about it. We just got to do it. It's like almost every 2 months we got to have a John Candy movie. It's just needs to happen.
Yeah, feels good.
I'm down with that.
And following that, we're coming at you with AJ's pick. And after some major nudging from Patreon, it's time.
It's time.
We're talking about movies where the sequel might be better than the original.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Terminator 2.
We're not even doing the first one.
Nope. We can't.
We're doing T2.
Fuck it.
I mean.
fuck it. Attitude
like
of us.
Like in a good way. Like it's
not sex.
You're right.
Okay.
And after that, it's time for a direct fall off and heading towards Halloween.
Yeah,
it's almost time. I'm starting to feel it, Sean. Like it's starting to creep in a little bit.
On my way over here, I'm like, I should listen to my Halloween playlist just to, I still have to hold out for that last bastion of summer.
Hold out.
Because like Outdoors or Great Outdoors is like a summer movie for me.
Okay.
T2 is a summer movie for me.
Okay, so after that, then we're all in.
I think so.
Well, we'll hope you keep hanging out with us every Wednesday. It means the absolute world. And got to name off a few of those Patreon members. Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, Anita Richard, Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Cale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, Brenda Meisner, Willie Cox, the fucking third.
Whoa.
Number one in our hearts. Thank you so much.
Indeed.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us. AJ, tell us how they can take us out of the whole thing, do that kind of thing.
Thanks for listening, guys. The most important thing you can do right now is to follow us on social media. At Confused Breakfast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you're on Twitter, Confused Be Fast. You should also subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast platform of your choice that you're listening to on right now.
Also, will you please visit our merch store? We have merch, you guys. Shirts, stickers, koozies. Go check them out at confusedbreakfast.bigcartel.com.
And don't forget about our voicemail number. We want to hear from you. We want to hear those sexy voices. 319-804-9596. You can find links to everything at our website, confusedbreakfast.com. Tell your friends that's your mission this week. Get them to listen to an episode.
Guys, you can always find me anywhere on social media. It's AJ Venz, AJAYVENS, anywhere on social media online.
You can find me TikTok and Instagram, SeanPryor237. Goodbye.
And I'm generally called Mikey Schulte on things, but sometimes I'm not. So you're just going to have to like click on the links and the things and find us, okay?
Yep.
Got it.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Goodbye.
Deuces.
Bye.
Quack.
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 Bye. No.
Quack. Quack.
Because that was for the Mighty Ducks.
Quack.
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 Quack. Quack.
It applies to all movies.